Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am so glad to be here. I mean, just to be here. I wasn't here at this time yesterday morning, and so I'm just glad to be here. It is a joy to be with you and to look forward to sharing with you this morning some things from the Word of God. I'm happy to be sharing the pulpit this morning with colleagues and friends of mine whom I have great confidence in and whose abilities are excellent and who are men of great integrity and honesty, Brother Mars and Brother Wilson both being very articulate and splendid spokesmen of the Word of God. And I'm looking forward to hearing them this morning. In fact, would consider it a pleasure just to relinquish my time to them. And I've enjoyed this good song service. My, you're blessed with more song leaders around here than you have Christians. And I've appreciated that. And good singing again this morning. And, of course, I'm always proud to be with my good friend John McGuire, who says it so well before the throne when he speaks to God. Thank you for being here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I should like to call to your attention some things about the church that are rather unusually stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And with your kind permission, I'm going to read this entire chapter. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto those dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but by the Holy Spirit they are the same. By the same Spirit, he says, but there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God them in the body, as it hath. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And Christ hath, or rather God hath set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a better way. Just as every part of a thing sustains a relationship to the whole, every baptized believer sustains a relationship to the local church. I believe that what we have in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 is a reference to the church universal. And I think because of our reaction to the Pentecostal charismatic thought that is so rampant in the world today, we very possibly have overreacted to these passages. And I must say to you that that overreaction, in my opinion, takes the form of using these passages merely to show that the Holy Spirit no longer operates in a miraculous way in the Lord's church today. Now, that is so, and these passages do teach that. But I would hasten to remind you that the initial meaning of these passages was in order to try to show the church at Corinth, which had elevated certain people who had these supernatural gifts, to a place where they had not been, that the management of these gifts is the important consideration. He is talking about how these people were distorting the use of what God said in the church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what he's trying to show is that God in the church, and he means the church viewed as the people, he means the church universal here in my opinion, what God has done is made everything important in its time in bringing about to fruition his eternal plan for the church. And in doing that, he used certain things. He at times used prophets. And at times he used supernatural gifts. And what he's trying to say is that neither one of these things is more important than the other. That all of them are merely constituent parts of the entirety, and the component arrangement of those parts has resulted in the fulfillment of God's plan. And what he's trying to say is that there is an interrelationship between each of those parts. And that because that is so, no one part can be elevated to an extent that it is more important than the other parts. But in that connection, in the local church, there are principles which pertain to our relationship to one another as siblings in the community of God's family. And so it is to those principles that I'm going to appeal this morning, based on a true understanding, I think, that the passage in reality is talking about a much bigger thing than what we're going to discuss. But the principles are still pertinent to how we operate in the local church. Every part of the local church is important. And you are a part. And when we talk this morning about the New Testament church and you, what I want you to see was that in New Testament times, every part of the local church was considered to be valuable and important. And we must stop this business of having spiritual inferiority complexes and have some kind of notion that we, because we're not a preacher, because we're not one of the more prominent members, that we don't share an important role in the local body. We need to dispel that kind of an idea, and that will be the thesis of what I'm going to say this morning. And I think there is no more important passage to prove that than the meat that is to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every part, then, is important. And you are a part. And we must all come to realize that the parts are not all the same. In verses 15 and 16, notice that he says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? You know what that's saying? There should be no competitive spirit in the body. The foot is not in competition with the hand. And the hand is not in competition with the foot. And there should not be any competition between the hearing and the smelling, both of which are sensical organs which help us perceive things in life, and both of which are very important. Now, that is not to say that one is more important than the other, but it is to say that together, coordinately, They make for us a fine thing. And in the church, there should not be any competitive spirit. I should rejoice because you're able to do something that I cannot do. You should rejoice when I can nail nails or hammer things or fix plumbing, even though I may not be able to preach the gospel. We need everybody in the community functioning at the peak level of his own efficiency before the community can function like it ought to function. It again, as I've pointed out time and time and time again this week, begins and ends with the individual doing what he's capable of doing. And so every part is important, and no other part is more important than any other part. And furthermore, he says in verses 17 and 18, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Diversities are necessary to the body. Every part cannot be a comely part. It's amazing to me how little function the hair serves. And yet, did you notice that we make that comely? We make it one of the important parts. It's amazing that your eyebrows are so unimportant. And yet we pluck them and trim them and color them and do all kinds of things, and they're not even important. But who is it that dresses his liver up? Nobody. And yet the liver, which has no comeliness, and if you've ever seen a piece of liver, you know that that's the case. It has no comeliness at all, and yet it's a vital organ. It's one of the vital organs. The same may be said of the heart and the lungs and the pancreas and the other glandular things that we have. They don't look so pretty, but they're important. And the things that don't do anything, that are not important, we have to dress those up so they become important. Now, why is it we can't do that with the church? We see in the body that diversity is necessary. Now, I'm not talking about diversity of doctrine here. I'm talking about diversity of function, because that's what Paul's talking about. And he's not saying compromise the truth and let everybody think what he wants to. No, sir. Everything is given direction by the head. But the head must have diversities in order to make the body function like it ought to. You've got to have a nose to smell, an ear to hear, and feet to walk. There's a young track star named Lewis at the University of Houston. He's now independent, I guess, and he won for the first time, what was it, 4 gold medals at the last Olympics or something. Carl Lewis. Immensely talented man. Now, when he won the 100 meters, did his head get any honor for that? His feet or what did it, right? Well, somebody says, no, it was his legs. Another person says, no, it was his arms, because without his arms, he wouldn't have had any balance. And somebody else says, it was his mind, because you really run track with your mind. And in fact, what it was is all of it. So you honor the whole body. But the body only functions at its peak level of efficiency when the members which comprise it function in their places. One of the dire needs, ladies and gentlemen, in the Lord's church today, in the local churches around the country, is for people to learn to sit quietly in their places and do what they can do. It's one of the dire needs of our age. And he says in verses 21 through 24, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And what that's saying is that each part relies in some way or the other on every other part. There is an Aesop fable that I just really do enjoy, and I read it every now and then, and I like it a lot. It's a story that Aesop told about the stomach. And the rest of the parts of the body one day got all bent out of shape about the stomach, getting all the everything that went on. They said everything that goes to the stomach, and we just don't care for that. And so they cut themselves off from the stomach. And they said, we're not going to have anything to do with the stomach anymore. And so the mouth shut his mouth, and he wouldn't let anything in. And the esophagus shut itself off from the stomach. And the blood vessels, they all shut themselves off from the stomach, and the stomach couldn't do a thing in this world. And you know, the end of that story, the whole body died. And the reason for that is that every part of the body is intended to gain something and give something with every other part of the body. It's like a huge jigsaw puzzle. And every part protrudes in order that it might accept something from every other part. But every part is also intended in order that it might accept something from the other part. And that's the way every part of the body is. There are no vestigial organs. There's no competition in that. If this didn't fit this didn't fit this, then the whole thing could not be functional. It couldn't work. And so every part in some way or the other relies on every other part, and it is so in the body of Christ. And God has said in this passage that he gave various parts to make the entirety of the whole functional. And he makes that observation in regard to the church universal. And he says he put into the church universal apostles and prophets and teachers. They had a part. And then he put supernatural gifts, and they had a part. And they are all diverse, and they're not the same, and some of their functions are different, but we should desire to be a part. And when he got through with that, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, beautiful passage, he says, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part is done away. What that's saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that the parts were swallowed up in the whole. And that when all the parts were sequentially arranged and every piece was plugged into its proper place, then the whole became the important consideration. And what he's saying here is that in the church, God did that in order to bring about his perfect plan. And I'm saying to you this morning, with a further application of that principalistically, that we have in the local church those same principles. If I went to the electronics store and I bought all the parts, every part that goes into a television set, I bought a picture tube, and I bought me a lot of diodes and resistors, and I bought me a whole bunch of the various and sundry other things that are necessary to put together a television set. And I put them all in a box. Do I have a television set? No, sir. No TV set. They have to be put in their places. And the diode is important. It must be properly placed. And you have to put the transistors exactly where they go in the board. And when you get all that put together, you don't say to yourself, looky there at all those diodes, and look at all those resistors, and look at all those wires in there, and all that solder. You say, look at that television set. And what that says is that God swallowed all those parts up in the whole when he got through making the Lord's church. But that doesn't mean that they're not important. Quite the contrary. Without that box of parts, you can't have a television set. And while it is so that we no longer need supernatural gifts, they played a vital role in bringing about the church. And at the local level, it is so that every part must function to the peak level of its own efficiency before we can see the entirety of the whole accomplishing what it ought to accomplish. And so just by way of emphasis, let me say to you that there are no unimportant parts in the local body. There are no vestigial organs in the body of Christ. Now I would remind you, as I did yesterday, of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body... Now watch the terminology, please. It's very important. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Look at that. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That's another term for being together. Compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What he's saying is that all fixes itself when it all comes together. That by which every joint supplieth, and according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of itself in the body. Isn't that a beautiful figure? And it, look at those terms that are there. The whole body fitly joined together. That's where you've built this thing. And every part is in its place, and that's why it's built. And he says, compacted what with what every joint supplies. And what that says is that every joint brings something to the whole. Every joint is packed in and brings motive or energy or determination or zeal, or it brings whatever it can bring to the body. Maybe it's encouragement, maybe it's vitality, maybe it's dynamics, maybe it's practical things, maybe it's theoretical things, maybe it's conceptual things, but it brings what it can bring to the entirety of the whole. And it's so neat to me. As we were talking at breakfast this morning, how that all these diverse parts come together. And you have in a church like the Miller Avenue congregation some people that are just marvelous song leaders. But you also have great electricians. And you have some people that can just get up and teach a class, but on the other end of that, you have some people that are the best listeners you ever saw. And brother, what they can do is just tune into that and learn from it. And you may have some guy that can really nail nails. I get the biggest kick out of Ed Harrell. He went to Rome and saw the Sistine Chapel. And he saw all of this magnificent artwork that was done by Michelangelo with those of his stripes. And he said to me, he said, when I saw those, one thing came into my mind. And here's his old Florida background. He said, I could tell you one thing about that Michelangelo fellow. He sure could draw. Well, everybody can do something. And everybody can be a part. And everybody supplies something to the entirety. And that's what makes the local church so very important. Now, you come along and you say, well, I'm really not anybody. And all of those things that you've said, I know goes on because I know the David Barneses and the Don Wilsons. And I know the people like the Coopers and those folks that are so immensely talented and do public things and guide and lead. And I know those people, but I'm not one of those people. But listen to me, there are some things that are just as applicable to you and as they are to those people. And they're just as important in your life as they are to those people. And that means that everybody really faces a common denominator sooner or later. And I must say to you that that common denominator is responsibility. Accountability. There is something everybody must do. And you don't do it in stages except as the levels of maturity demand. You do it because of who you are. You don't do it because you're less or more. You do it because you are. Human responsibility is indigenous to moral capability in a sense of all. Let me cite some of them for you. You can keep yourself pure in character. I don't care what your talent is. I don't care if you are a genius or you have a very low IQ. You can keep yourself pure in character. That is a part of the work of every part of the body. In 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 22, Peter said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Everybody must purify his heart. Everybody must be continually about the cleansing process. Did you ever notice that every part of the body has to be cleansed? A part of the systematic arrangement that God gave when he gave this schematic to take care of the body was to expulse the dirt from it, the filth, the refuse. And so the bloodstream not only sustains it, but it also cleanses it. And every part of the body must see to it that it remains clean. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, he speaks to these Gentiles and he says, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. Keep yourself illuminated. Keep yourself informed. Every person can be purified by keeping himself informed. And in the fourth chapter and verse 24, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Righteousness meaning right wayness, holiness having reference to sanctification and purity. And every part can do that. And there isn't anybody that can't do that. There is now, therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now every man can do that. Every man can keep himself in a purified, righteous, holy position all the while. Secondly, you can make sure that you come up to your own potential. I would to God, if I could just get one point across, it would be this one. And that is that every man has a measure of potential that is peculiarly his. And every man can come up to that. And that's precisely and exactly what God explains through Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 3. The scripture says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman. She is identified incidentally in John's gospel as Mary, the sister of Lazarus, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and brake the box and poured it on his head. And there some were there that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For the poor you have with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye do not have always. And she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial to her. People doing what they can is what makes strong churches. And can you imagine? Now I know this is a good church. I'm aware of that. But can you imagine what a really good church this would be if everyone here did what they could? If everyone who is a part of this community came up to the level of efficiency of his own potential, do you have any idea what you could do? I'll tell you what you'd do. You'd turn this town upside down if everybody just did what they could. And everybody can do what they can. That's the way God made the parts. Thirdly, you can remain separated from evil. Sometimes today's Christians are not distinctive. They don't act called out. And you cannot be what you ought to be as a part of the local fellowship until you act called out. You have to show the world that you are distinctive. I think we've overreacted to the passages that have to do with being peculiar people. And we say that doesn't mean odd. It does mean odd. Because a people for God's own possession will be different. They're distinctive. And the word there is not just talking about a people for his own possession. It's talking about a special people. That's the concept of the word. Not just some to be possessed by him, but some who are different because they are possessed by him. And if you'll substitute the word special instead of peculiar, you'll have the difference. And that what that is a sublimated peculiarity. It's a distinctive betterness. That's what that means. And we're to be that way. There's a wonderful passage in Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 25 following. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The marginal rendition notice says order to right. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's saying I'm different. That's all that's saying. It's saying you don't look to the right nor to the left. You go straight on. And the fact of the matter is, sometimes ponder the ways of thy feet and let all thy ways be established is hard. But the fact that it's difficult does not mean to diminish from its necessity. It's still necessary. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, said Paul in Ephesians 5 and 11. So you can get involved in being pure. Everybody can do that. And then finally, you can persevere to the end. Every part has to do that. Every part of the body needs to stay in its place and do what it can all the way to the end. Every bit of the way. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but the familiarity of it tends to cause us to have contempt for it, and we don't pay as much attention to it as we ought. We need to listen carefully to familiar passages. For I am ready now, he said, to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And in the original language it says this, I am continuing to fight a good fight. I am fighting a good fight. I am finishing my course. I am keeping the faith. And that's all continuous, present, active. And he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only. And so we need to be like Paul, who said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and pressing on to the things which are before, I press toward the prize, toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May I preach my sermon now after having given you the illustrations that are all introductory? I've given you the introduction. Here is the sermon. Listen to the sermon carefully. Will you do your part? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.